Palestinian rabbis haven't known halakha for the last 500 years. And this is really one of the few attempts in all of Jewish history to establish a sort of a sovereign and an all-encompassing and all-controlling Jewish center that would rule over the Jewish world. But even here, this was probably the last attempt in Jewish history where a particular body tried to establish itself. And one gets the sense, as you head into the end of the Gaonic period, that that body also realizes it's losing control. New centers begin to develop in North Africa. New centers begin to develop in Spain. And we find very touching letters by the Gaonim of the end of the period. They're asking that the diaspora communities ask them more questions. In other words, they feel that their centrality is somehow waning. Now, it's very interesting because together with the questions that were sent to the Babylonian academies, donations, monetary donations, were also made. So when the Gaon says, please send us more questions, one wonders whether this was not a financial issue as well. But you get the sense that Babylonia realized its attempt to control, to unify, as it were, all of the Jewish world was limited and was about to end. Babylonian Geonim managed to do one thing, and that was to inject their particular version of the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, and to render it the standard for all of the Jewish communities. In that, they were successful. But this does not undo the diversity that would characterize the Jewish world. As I said, the diversity that existed in late antiquity and in the early Middle Ages. And groups, there were groups that did find themselves ultimately on the outside. In other words, yes, diversity allows for a certain breadth of opinions, but every now and then there would be groups, the nature of whose beliefs were such that they could no longer find themselves within this diverse community. One of these groups, for instance, going back to antiquity, were the Judeo-Christians. In other words, Jews living in the land of Israel in the first centuries CE, who nevertheless embraced some belief in Jesus. What is interesting is that Judeo-Christians were also not a monolithic group. There were Judeo-Christians who believed that Jesus was a Messiah. There were other Judeo-Christians who believed that he was a prophet. There were Judeo-Christians who claimed that the advent or the appearance of Jesus does not abrogate the keeping of commandments, whereas others believe that, yes, his teachings do supersede the commandments. So we find even in a small group, and it was a relatively small group at the time, right, there was a diversity of opinions. And I think that that's indicative of what was happening on the broader Jewish scene. And the process of distancing Judeo-Christians takes place primarily in the area of Palestine and maybe in some adjacent districts such as Syria, simply because the belief in Jesus as a Messiah had the potential for creating an ultimate schism. In other words, I think the line here was drawn because if masses of Jews believe in a future messianic period, and there are those limited numbers who claim, no, there has already been a messianic appearance. This would, I think, would be untenable. To have these two groups living together would almost have been untenable. In Babylonia, we saw another example. And not only Babylonia, but many of the lands ruled by Islam. Another group of Jews also found its ties to the main body of Judaism severed. These were the Karaites, to whom we have alluded a number of times in our lectures. They refused to accept the authority of the rabbis and the binding status of oral tradition, and they too found themselves on the outside. But it was almost a mutual expulsion. In other words, not only could the rabbis not afford to have them within the community, but the Karaites themselves, just as the Judeo-Christians, would have felt very uncomfortable within the community. And so they too find themselves on the outside. But as we have seen in our earlier lectures, the Jewish world continued to allow for a wide variety of religious expression. Although, in certain cases, there were heated debates. There were attempts at banning. In other words, one group might try to ban the other ones. I think I mentioned that there were attempts to ban the reading of the writings of Maimonides. The same was true regarding Kabbalah. Obviously, there were debates.